Glad that we are able to come together this evening to worship God. I'm going to look in Luke chapter 10 this evening. Luke chapter 10 and beginning there at verse 17. Luke 10 verse 17. And this particular passage and this context, Jesus had called together his disciples and he was sending them out on what's sometimes called a limited commission, to go out and prepare his way as he was going through the whole land of Israel and from Jerusalem and all through what's called the land of Israel and then and Galilee and all through those places. And he sent them out two at a time to do all of these teachings and also to prepare his way. And he gave them certain miraculous gifts for a period of time, healing the sick and some other things that he gave them to do. And so in Luke chapter 10 and verse 17, it says, "When the 70 returned with joy, saying, 'Lord, even the demons are subject unto us in your name.' And he said unto them, 'I beheld Satan fallen as lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you. Nevertheless, in this rejoice not, but that your spirits are subject, and that the spirits are subject unto you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven.'" We look at that, and again, it's the limited commission as opposed to the later called the Great Commission, where we were told to go to all the world and preach the gospel to the whole creation. This was just for the time of Jesus' personal ministry. They sent his disciples out to prepare his way. And in the old times, of course, when a king was going to make a visit to some of his provinces or maybe even to another land, he would send messengers out before him to prepare his way. And that's what Jesus was doing. And Luke chapter 10 and verse 1 says, "Now after these things, the Lord appointed 70 others, and he sent them out two by two before his face into every city and place whither he himself was about to come." So he sent them out to prepare for his coming. And if you read on down, you'll find that he gave them power over certain things, sickness and other things, to be a sign that this was from God and not from man. And of course, to tell them to preach that the kingdom of God was at hand and to prepare them to understand that Christ was the one that was going to bring this kingdom to them. And so they came back, and in verse 17, it says, "The 70 returned with joy, saying, 'Lord, even the demons are subject unto us in your name.'" Well, they were very happy about that. They'd never experienced anything like that before because they had not had miraculous gifts. Now, these were only temporary, as far as we know. And of course, the more of the longer term for that would come when the apostles received the baptism of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, and they were given for their lifetime period the miraculous gifts that God had sent down. So, but Jesus' answer to them was interesting because he said in verse 18, he said to them, "I beheld Satan fallen as lightning from heaven." In other words, this is the sign that Satan and his power is going to be cast down, that this kingdom is going to be established. The opportunity for forgiveness and eternal salvation was going to be given. And so then in verse 19, it says, "Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you. Nevertheless, in this rejoice not, but that the spirits are subject unto you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." Notice Jesus says the things that really matter are not these temporary miraculous gifts, as important as those things were to prove that this is from God. He says there's something more important. The eternal purpose of this is to have your name written in heaven. In other words, have a heavenly home with Christ when this life is over. But we go to a question here on that particular thought. Is there such a record that is sometimes called the Book of Life? Well, we look in the New Testament, we read throughout the New Testament, and that idea is brought forth over and over again. So the New Testament affirms the fact that there is the Book of Life, or the book, and our names are written in heaven. That God knows who we are. He knows us individually as well as collectively. He knows who we are. And so we have to accept that by faith, that that is the truth. In other words, God revealed himself in this way and said, if you follow me, if you follow my will, then your name is going to be written in heaven. Now, notice, for example, in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 3, Paul says, I beseech you also, true yoke fellow, writing to one of his fellow servants there, and he says, help these women, for they labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are written in the book of life. So there is a book of life. Now, we don't know whether it's a literal book that we could read when we get there, but the idea is in God's mind, it's there. He knows us individually. He knows our faith. He knows our actions. He knows our willingness or unwillingness sometimes to do his will. But Paul says there, you work with me and I beseech you, true yoke fellow. We don't know what his name was, who this particular one was. But he says, help these women who had been very faithful in serving God with him. And he says, they labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also. We don't know who he is exactly, but he was a faithful servant with Paul. And he says, the rest of my fellow workers whose names are written in the book of life. So their names are written in heaven in God's book of life. So that's some who are there. Also, notice also those who are able to overcome, in other words, be faithful to death, overcome sin through Christ, and live a faithful life. And Revelation chapter 3, Revelation 3 and verse 5, he says, and then this is Jesus speaking through the Apostle John in the letters to the seven churches. And Revelation 3, 5, he says, he that overcomes shall thus be arrayed in white garments, and I will nowise blot his name out of the book of life, and I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. So Jesus says, if you're faithful to me, if you overcome and you're faithful to the end, do not turn your back upon me. He says, I will not blot your name out of the book of life. It's written in heaven. It's written before the throne of God. And he knows us if we are faithful to him. When we obey the gospel, our name is put before God and we belong to him. And he says he will in no wise blot his name out of the book of life. And Jesus says, I will confess his name before my Father and his angels. Now go back to Matthew chapter 10 and verse 32. And Jesus said, if you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father who is in heaven. In other words, if you own up to your faith and you confess it and you live it, then I'm going to take your name before the Father on the day of judgment. And notice again, that name can be blotted out. Well, it isn't because God wants to do that. It's because we have a choice in the matter. If at any point in time, for our own neglect, our own unwillingness to serve God, we turn our back upon him, our name can be blotted out of the book of life. But that's a choice we make. God doesn't want to do that. He wants us to remain faithful all of our life. But he will do it if we choose to turn our back upon him, even when we have come to him in the first place. Also, there are those who that are not going to have their name blotted out and their name is written in heaven if they do not take away from the word of God. In Revelation 22 and verse 19, the last warnings that are found in the Bible is, do not add to nor take away from the word of God. Revelation 22:19, he says, if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the tree of life and out of the holy city, which are written in this book. Now notice, he says, if any man shall take away from the words of this book of prophecy. Now, some people have said, well, he's just talking about the book of Revelation there. Well, it certainly includes that. But the way it's written, and you go back to the Old Testament, the same warning is given of not adding to or taking from the Word of God. And he says, if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the tree of life. Well, where do you find the tree of life? All the way back to Genesis chapter 2, when Adam and Eve were set in the Garden of Eden, and God placed the tree of life for them. They could partake of it and they would live, always live, as long as they had access to the tree of life. But when they sinned, God put them out of the Garden of Eden, and he put an angel there with a flaming sword to keep them from coming back to the tree of life and eating of it so that they could continue to live forever. But that tree of life is restored if we're faithful to God for all of eternity. It is for us. And he says, God shall take away his part from the tree of life and out of the holy city. Well, the holy city is the new Jerusalem, as Revelation chapter 21 tells us. As John said, I saw the new Jerusalem, the holy city, coming down from God, from heaven. And so he says, also his name will be taken out of the book of God that is written with our name there. And so the idea of the tree of life, again, goes all the way back to Genesis. And it's taken away there because of sin, but it's restored because of our faith and obedience to the will of God. And we have an opportunity and privilege for all of eternity to spend all of eternity with God in the holy city, the New Jerusalem. But the question then comes up, well, whose names are going to be written there? Well, first of all, those who accept the call of Christ. The invitation is given. Every day we live, Christ has an invitation for us to come and follow him. And so when we accept that call on his terms, we're going to be given forgiveness of sins and the promise of eternal life. In Matthew 11:28, Jesus says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. So he says, come to me. For we have a heavy burden to bear. If we have problems and troubles in life, which we all do, we struggle with sin, we struggle with temptation, all of those things, he says, you come to me. And yes, you'll still have to carry a burden, but it will be much lighter because I'll carry it with you. I'll see that you get to the end. And so he says, if you'll do this and follow me, then your name is going to be there. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's his promise to you and me. Hey, we may not always have things going our way. Things may not be well for us on many occasions during life. But if we're faithful to him, he's going to see us through it and bring us to the end. And those, of course, who believe and accept his call that he gives to us, it's a faith that follows with a willingness to obey the things the Lord has commanded. Every day we live, we have an opportunity to believe him and to obey him, or turn our back on him and go the other way. It's a choice we make every day of life. John 3:16 says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. He goes on to say, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. You know, God wants us to be saved. He would have not allowed Christ to die on our behalf if he didn't want us to be saved eternally, and for all of us to be saved eternally. And of course, all those who fear God and work righteousness. In other words, if we do what God said and we're following him every day, it's not just a case of we believe what he said, but we have to put it into practice. Now go over to Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10 for a moment. And on that occasion, if you remember the context there, Peter had seen a vision of a great sheet let down from heaven, and in it were all kinds of unclean animals under the law of Moses that they were not to eat. Well, there's a voice came from heaven and Peter, and he says, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." He says, "No, Lord, I haven't done that. I've never eaten anything that's common or unclean." And the voice from heaven says, "What I've cleansed, don't call common or unclean." And he did it three times. And then the sheet was taken back up to heaven. Well, Peter didn't really understand what this was all about. And there were three men that came to the gate where he was staying, of the house where he was staying, looking for him. And the Holy Spirit spoke through Philip to Peter on that occasion. And he said, "You go with them because I have sent them." Well, and finally Peter realized he needed to go with them and took some other of the Jews with him also. Well, Peter had to see what was there before him in order to understand what that vision was all about. And it's found in Acts chapter 10 and verse 34. We'll go back to verse 33. He says, I therefore sent to you, this is Cornelius speaking to Peter, "and you have well done that you are come. Now therefore we are all here present in the sight of God to hear all things that have been commanded of you of the Lord." And Peter opened his mouth and said, "Of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that fears him and works righteousness is acceptable to him." Notice those who fear him, in other words, believe in him and give him proper reverence and respect and are willing to do the things that he commands. He says in that passage, he says, those that fear him and work righteousness. In other words, we do what God commands. And when we do that, we're going to be blessed now and all of eternity because our names are written in heaven. Well, then we ask another question. Upon what conditions that may that name or our name be written there? Well, again, it goes back to not only believing, but doing God's will to the best of our ability. It's not good enough just to say, "I believe." We have to do that. That's the foundation of it. It's not good enough just to mentally accept the fact that God is and that God lives and that Christ is His Son. We have to act upon it. Our works must go along with what the things that we do in life. If you go back to Acts chapter 1 and verse 1, it says there, as Luke was beginning the book of Acts, he says, "I wanted to talk about the things that Jesus began both to do and to teach. What he did, he said. What he did, he said. What he said, he did." There is no difference between those two things. And so it's not good enough just to believe. We have to do the things the Lord has commanded. In Matthew 7, verse 21, Jesus said, "Not everyone says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father who is in heaven." We have to do the will of the Father every day we live if we're going to be pleasing to him and to have our name written in heaven, also by obeying the divine commandments. In Revelation chapter 22, Revelation 22 and verse 14, says, "Blessed are they that do his commandments." Some translations there say that wash their robes. "Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city." Now think about that. In Genesis chapter 3 and 4, Adam and Eve are put out of the Garden of Eden. They are put out of the place of perfection, the physical perfection upon the earth. So they were driven out because of their sin. Well, in Revelation 22, he says, "Blessed are those that do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city." We're able to enter into the gates to where the tree of life is, rather than Adam and Eve, who were thrown out of that place, the Garden of Eden, and couldn't go back in. So it's restored to us if we're faithful to God. Now notice the idea of the right to the tree of life. What gives us that right? What gives us the opportunity to believe and to follow? We turn over to John chapter 1. John chapter 1, And beginning there at verse 10, John chapter 1 and verse 10, it says there, "And he was in the world," it's talking about Christ, "he was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world knew him not. He came into his own, and they that were his own received him not. But as many as received him, he gave to be the right to become the children of God, even those who believe upon his name, who are born not of blood, nor of the will of man, the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but the will of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." That's the one that gives us the right to become the children of God, by our faith in him. But not only that, but because we accept him as our Lord and our Savior on the terms that he has set forth. Well, what are those terms? Well, there is faith, a belief in him, foundation of the faith that's revealed to us in the Word of God. We read it, we study it, we believe it, we accept it, and put it into practice. We also have to repent of the sins we have committed, because every day we live, we sin against God. But if we're willing to repent, if we're willing to turn to him, he's willing to forgive. The Bible says we must confess that Jesus is Christ, that he is our Lord and our Savior. And it's more than just speaking the words. It's making a sincere commitment to what God wants us to do in life and in our faith and our belief within the terms of our forgiveness. But also we have to be obedient to the gospel of Christ, which is in baptism. And Mark 16, verse 15, he says, "Go into all the world, preach the gospel to the whole creation. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved, and he that disbelieves shall be condemned." So we have to go, we have to teach, we have to believe it and obey it in order to be pleasing to him. And in Acts chapter 3 and verse 19, the Apostle Peter says there, he says, "Repent therefore and turn again," or in some translations say there, "be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that there may come seasons of refreshing from the presence of the Lord." The idea of repenting and being converted and so that our sins can be blotted out means that we obey the things the Lord has commanded for us to do. And then it says, then we'll receive seasons of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. If you compare that Acts 3:19 to Acts 2:38, the seasons of refreshing from the presence of the Lord is the result of our forgiveness and the receiving of the gift of the Holy Spirit, which we receive because we believe and obey God. And of course, our name then is written in heaven. Well, can we be assured that our names are going to be written there? Well, it, of course, is by faith. All of these things are by faith that we accept it. We're not going to see it right there before us until the time when it's actually fulfilled and we're able to go to heaven with it. Paul assured us that was true. And it's not an absolute knowledge. That would negate faith. And we have to live by faith in this life. But it's a sincere assurance of the truth that these things are going to happen. In 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 1, he says, "For we know if the earthly house of this tabernacle be dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." It's not a physical building we'll live in. It's a spiritual one. And we have this body in which we live now. That's going to be cast off when we die physically, and we'll receive this spiritual body, which God has promised to us. Now, we know that that's true because he has promised it to us. Now, turn for a moment to the book of 1 John. In 1 John chapter 2, beginning at verse 3. 1 John 2 and verse 3. He says, "And hereby we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that says, 'I know him,' and keeps not his commandments is a liar, and his truth is not in him. But whoso keeps his word, in him truly has the love of God been perfected. And hereby we know that we are in him." We know that we are in Him because we believe in, we accept His will, and we follow those things. Now turn over now, 1 John 5 and verse 13. 1 John 5, verse 13. He says there, 1 John 5 and verse 13, "These things have I written unto you, that you may know that you have eternal life, even unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God." Now again, this is not absolute knowledge that we can see right now, but it is an absolute promise that God has given to you and me. If we believe Him, we follow Him, we're going to have eternal life because our name is written in heaven. And so that's a promise that God gives. And that will be realized when we physically leave this earth and go into God's presence. And so we will see it. What will it mean for us to have our names written in heaven? Well, of course, we're going to rest from our labors. That's one of the promises that are given. It is a spiritual promise. Just as you go back to the book of Genesis and describes the 6 days of creation, and it said on the seventh day God rested. Well, that's symbolic of the rest we will receive also, that we will rest from our labors in this life. Hebrews 4 and verse 9 says, "There remains therefore a Sabbath rest for the people of God." Now, the Sabbath under the Old Testament was the seventh day of the week. It was the day we call Saturday. And they were to worship that day, but also they were to rest from their labors. And it was the promise of God to the people of Israel, so that they wouldn't work 7 days a week. There was a day of rest given to them. But this is a spiritual one, that there remains therefore a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For he that has entered into that rest has himself also rested from his works. That's God and Christ when he came to the earth and died on the cross for us and returned to his Father. And so he says, as God did from his, "Let us therefore give diligence to enter into that rest, that no man may fall after the same example of disobedience." Even in this life, even as faithful as we have been, we can still, up until we die, make the choice to rebel against him. He says, you don't have to do that. Don't do that and be faithful to the end, and you'll receive eternal life. We also have abundant entrance into the heavenly kingdom and the heavenly realm. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1 says, "Therefore, brethren, give the more diligence to make your calling and election sure." If you read the passage just before that, he talks about adding to your faith virtue and your virtue knowledge and all of these other things, sometimes called the Christian graces. And he says, if you do this, you're not going to fall. And then he says, "Therefore, brethren, give the more diligence to make your calling and election sure." We have a calling of the gospel through Christ. We have an election because we believe and obey the gospel. So we are elected in that way to eternal life. How do we make it sure? Well, we hold on and be faithful to the end. He says, "For if you do these things, you shall never stumble. For thus shall be richly supplied unto you the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." Be faithful to the end. Don't turn our back upon God to the best we can, even though we're going to fall way short of His glory. So the question then comes back to that. Is your name written in heaven? Well, it can be, but it's by our choice. God offers by His grace and His love and His mercy. But we have to do something about it. We have to act upon it. We have to accept Him on His terms, not anyone else's. And nothing else is going to suffice. In John chapter 8 and verse 24, Jesus said, "Except you believe that I am He, you shall die in your sins." The term "He" is not found in the original writing there in Greek. It's simply, he says, "Except you believe that I am, you shall die in your sins." Well, that goes all the way back to the book of Exodus, when Moses saw the burning bush and he said, "Who are you, Lord?" And he says, "Who shall I say has sent me to Egypt to lead the people out?" And God said, "Tell them I am has sent you." So Jesus said, unless you believe that I am, in other words, I am He, I am the Christ, God in the flesh, you're going to die in your sins. But If we accept that and believe and obey His will, our names are going to be written in heaven now and for all of eternity. Tonight, if you need to respond to the Lord's invitation, He gave His life for us and shed His blood so that we could accept that invitation, have eternal life. If you need to come, won't you do so as we stand, as we sing.